John, tag, you're supposed to run after me after I touch you. You can't. That's not how tag works, the way you're playing.
It's a regional thing. I'm playing Midwestern rules.
Oh, I should have known that. Okay, yeah. My bad. Yeah. Sorry.
Hey, speaking of, Dave, you know, with Memorial Day coming up,
I'm guessing you're
probably getting ready for plenty of fun days in the sun.
Oh, my gosh.
Am I right?
First, I have to learn these rules for tag. But, yes, everyone knows this, John. Everyone knows that time in the sun is best enjoyed with a pair of shades that you don't have to baby.
Oh, yeah.
Knockaround is the original affordable sunglasses company, and they've got just what you need for Memorial Day weekend, MDW, for those of us who celebrate all year, and all the way through summertime.
They do. And with over 20 different frame styles, there's something for the whole family, including tons for kids.
So, whether you're looking to rock a pair of red, white, and blue shades for the big weekend, or just to restock your collection before summer gets here, Knockaround has you covered.
Now, Dave.
Yeah.
Did you know that all their lenses have UV 400 protection, which is basically like sunscreen for your eyeballs?
Oh, man. And I've put copper tone just right on the old ojos, and it burns. It is burning still to this day.
Yeah, well, you keep putting it on.
Well, it's a habit. With polarized adult pairs starting at $28, you can get a few pairs to leave in your car, toss in your beach bag, or lend to a friend in need.
You know, Dave, where I come from, Memorial Day weekend means it's race day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and
oh,
there's no more important place to have some shades than outside at the track.
Oh, yeah.
If you've heard me say that once, you've heard me say that a million
it's
times.
It's on your front yard.
I think I might actually just buy a pair of Knockarounds in that color.
Yeah.
Like in the color of each car, actually.
Yeah.
And it's switching back and forth based on who's leading the race.
Love that. That's one of the best ideas you've ever had.
So listen, Dadville fans, take that idea and run with it. Also, don't be the one squinting through family beach days or trips to the park. Go to knockaround.com and use the promo code DADVILLE15 for 15% off your order.
That's DADVILLE15 for 15% off your order at knockaround.com.
I just said that.
Hi, I'm Dave Barnes.
And I'm John McLaughlin.
And welcome to Dadville.
Dadville is a podcast where we talk about life, love, and the pursuit of awesome dadding.
It's funny thoughts and deep talks.
So please, enjoy your time here in Dadville and enjoy this episode with...
Trey Kennedy.
Five, six, seven, eight. Dave.
John.
You know, can I just say something that's just off the top of my head?
Go.
You know how we're always looking for resources that help us teach our kids and remind them of the really true, really important things about them?
Yes, yes. And we are, John. I'm going to first
talk about it all the time.
I'm going to affirm you first. I'm so excited. I can't sleep.
I know it.
And y'all, and John, this is included. My friend Annie F. Downs.
She's my friend too.
Better friend of mine. Has a brand new kids book that needs to bump to the top of your list.
Take it all the way to the
top.
You
may know Annie from her podcast. That sounds fun. I know her from a lot of things, but that's one of them, okay?
Me too.
From the network we're on together, the That Sounds Fun Network. From her books for grown-ups and even her first kids book, What Sounds Fun to You. But I wanted to be sure that you knew about this adorable new addition to her catalog. It's called So Happy to Know You.
Now, Dave, you knew all that stuff, which I already knew that stuff too, but did you know that the heart of this picture book is to help your children learn early and often that being exactly who they are is the greatest gift them and to us? It's full of delightful illustrations that I did, not really, I actually didn't,
you did.
And some alphabet fun.
Which I invented the alphabet, but go ahead.
That's true. Maybe not. And an A to Z look at all these special character qualities that can show our kids some of the amazing ways God created them.
And with her Always Annie magic, and it is magic, Annie will teach the kids in your life to treasure how God made them special rather than trying to fit into others' expectations of them. Honestly, a message we could all learn from, right?
That's right. So Happy to Know You. I mean that, Dave, but that's also the title of the book.
Oh, I didn't know.
So Happy to Know You is out now, and you can grab your copy wherever or whenever you'd like to buy books.
Yeah.
Don't miss this chance to tell the kids in your life just how special they are with So Happy to Know You by Annie F. Downs. Available on Amazon and wherever books are sold.
How we doing?
You know,
looking good, man. Thank you. Sound good? Look good?
Thanks. Oh wait, you are So are you? So you're in your podcast spot. That's like your all in. You do it all.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
The magic.
Got the studio here.
We recognize the plant.
We
let's go plant. Right.
What's the sweatshirt?
Go Chiefs.
Oh,
this
oh,
is okay. True Colors. I guess this is Travis Kelce's brand apparently.
Oh, okay.
No, True Colors. Okay.
I don't know. It sounds like you just threw random words on the Chiefs merch. Like,
it works.
Called it his own thing. But
Debbie,
when you're that good at football, it works.
You can do whatever.
It's good. Listen, this is a Dadville exclusive scoop, but apparently he and the old T-Swizz maybe a little.
I started seeing
there's
that.
A little, there's just, maybe a little something there. You know?
Really?
That's just absurd. Also,
I called that
years
like 8 years
my
ago.
My gosh. It's one of the first things you said when we met each other. I mean, those are going to be some, let's play it on, just like they get married.
Yeah,
some monster children. Because mm-hmm. She is a very tall individual. People,
she
that's
is.
Something, I'm not sure people know that about her, but she's tall. Like not just like, oh, like she's tall. She's like,
yeah. Yeah, like if you really knew, you it's too tall.
Yeah, you'd be like, I'm not listening to no anything. I don't trust her anymore.
Yeah.
If people knew how tall she was, her music would not be near as successful.
Right. They would fall apart.
That's why so many NBA stars just can't get their music off the ground, is they're just too tall.
Mm-hmm.
Trey, how you doing, man? Thanks for doing this.
I'm great. Yeah, thank you guys for reaching out, and I can come on now. You know, I'm a dad. I
well,
guess, so.
We waited for so long. We were just like waiting, and then waiting. Not yet, and now.
Now's the time.
Because how old boy, right?
Little boy named Thomas. He's about 7 months.
Yes, you are.
7 months.
It is how all
that's a great age. That is the age. Like my kids are. I have two girls who are 10 and 8. And whenever we're hanging with friends who have like a 3-year-old or a 2-year-old or whatever, there's like it's all every age is great, right? But there is a phase where it is really tough. And I don't like we leave, and I'm like I don't really miss. I mean, their kids are so cute, but man, I don't miss that time where you're just like bending over all the time, all day long. You're just bending over, trying to keep them from falling off cliffs. But that 6 month, 7 month, that range, that's a great range.
Yeah, yeah. We've spent some time with some family who have like 14 month, 18 month, and that looked like a lot. So we're trying to cherish this now because he's like very officially not a newborn anymore. We're not like, and we're first time parents, you know, it's the first kid. So we've got out of that, like, is he alive?
Stop breathing at any moment.
Possibly do. And, yeah. So now it's like every time you touch him, he like laughs. It's still it's like a pet.
John is actually still like that. Depending where you touch him.
Oh, sure.
That's kind of my thing. Yeah.
Every time you touch him, he laughs.
You get him under the armpits.
That just feels like wild. One of those games. Remember, it's like, would you rather? And that's a great one half of would you rather? Like every time someone touch you, you laugh. Like every time. Just like a giggle, you know? I'd love
that's
that.
That's basically what it is.
I'd love that person over there. Okay, so people are listening. They know the dulcet tones, Trey. They know it because they've laughed to them. They've heard you sing. They're just having Pavlovian responses to the tone of your voice because they know it so well. Mm. They're so frequently amused by it. It feels like it's getting weird the longer I talk. So what we do we do the brag sheet. So not that everybody does. No, Trey, you're everywhere, man. You are everywhere. But let's just give a little background here. I like starting with this one because this is an interesting tidbit to me. Received an MBA from Oklahoma State.
Yeah, go Pokes.
That's the MBA.
Yeah, people are like impressed by that. I don't know. I try not to diminish it too much, but man, it was. I mean, it's Oklahoma State. I love them, but
yeah, it's are you offended by how impressed people are by that?
Maybe a little bit. It's kind of like when my mom comes to my comedy show and I'm like, "Are you so impressed by like my performance or the material?" She's like, "You memorized all of that? No cue cards? Like that's what?" Anyone can memorize. That's not the part you're supposed to be impressed
Mom,
with.
Mom, you're not paying attention to the rest.
She's like, I didn't hear a word you said, but I did count all the words.
I just couldn't believe you talked for that long.
That makes me laugh. Yeah. So was that like right after college, went right back, finished that, and then started everything?
It was. It truly was. And people are like, don't diminish it. You should be proud.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It literally was. Yeah. No, it's cool and stuff, but it literally was. A friend of mine a year older than me did it, And it's like, hey, if you, I get you hooked up at this scholarship where it's basically free. And I was like, yeah, I guess I'll just hang out in college for another couple of years.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
Was really mainly it. And I did get my act together a lot more. I was the goofing off in college. And I was like, all right, I just graduated. I don't have a clue where my life's headed. Maybe I'll stick around and grow up a little bit more and like not skip class. And so, and I joined some weird made up like board of something, you know.
I saw that too. I saw that resume. Saw that too.
Yeah.
Okay, after that, released his first EP, Take Me to the River, in 2016. Since then, you've actually still released songs, which I think is really cool. Wrote his first book, Dads Be Like, 'Tis the Season to Be Swacky. How do you read that without laughing? In 2018, started his podcast, Correct Opinions, with Trey Kennedy in 2019. In 2020, released the web series Middle School Maddox on his YouTube channel, which I feel like I could say so many things about all these things. In 2022, put out his first comedy special called Are You For Real? And then amassed, man, this is so incredible to me, a massive social media following with 1.23 million subscribers on YouTube, 4.8 million followers on Facebook, and 2.9 million on Instagram. These are probably all bigger now. Fun facts, which I love these. That producer always throws these in. Wife is a biomedical engineer.
Yeah, that one actually is impressive. She earned that.
That is really cool.
Georgia Tech.
Okay, yeah, which is, man, that's like Georgia Tech is serious, man.
It's funny to meet, because I went to Oklahoma State school, you know, they let anyone in. It's a lot of fun. College is like the classic, like, man, remember when we like, we didn't do anything. That was cool. And her and her friends, Georgia Tech, they're like, college was the worst 4 years of my life. They're like, they studied every day. I mean, it was insane to hear their stories. I was like, wow.
Yeah. It's full tilt.
Very different.
And then first video, I think this is so cool that you posted a YouTube channel with your cover of Tennessee Whiskey. Is that true?
Yeah. Fun fact. Yeah. So that's a cool little rap sheet there. I haven't thought about some of those in a while, but I went viral online for both some like silly comedic stuff, but also just like cover singing.
Yeah.
And so my introduction into kind of like the entertainment performance world was more singing. And I was like, I'm going to be a singer and was doing the classic, especially back in the day when like YouTube covers were like huge, you know, Boyce Avenue and all that stuff. And so a lot of those have been lost into the ether or removed or something, but I was kind of putting those out. And I think that quick one of Tennessee Whiskey, I like, is this on a phone with me and my buddy, and it got decent views, but I was kind of trying to do that thing for a while. And then the comedy kept seeming to work better and fit me a little bit better.
Well, that's something that I want. It's funny you bring that up. That's what I was so curious about, because I mean, you can sing, like, you know what I mean? It's not something where it's like, you know, you're like, oh, like he's pretty good. You know what I mean? Like, I remember, I think that was probably my first, 'cause it was Vine, right? Wasn't a lot of this Vine?
Yeah, I was like, that Vine was the big jumping pad for all of it. So there'd be little 6 second covers.
Yeah. But I remember thinking like, oh man, okay. Like this is like, you can sing. So was that a weird shift in your brain going from like, all right, this music thing, and then the comedy stuff catches and you're like, go there? Or were you kind of equal opportunity either or both?
It was trying different things. So the singing was my introduction to getting on stage. Like in college, I made some good friends who were musically inclined. They pushed me to sing. I was getting encouraged. Oh, wow. Like, you can sing. And so I was like, okay, people are telling me I can sing. I guess I could sing. I enjoy singing, you know. It turns out, you know, I had a knack for it, but I was always the funny guy, and comedy is definitely more my default. I remember like trying to do the music thing, and we'd go out and like do a photo shoot, right? For like the EP. And it's, you're supposed to be like cool guy.
Right.
And I like, even that, I struggled with it so much. I'm like, I can't, this is everything in me is like, make this goofy or something. So,
well, and it's like, if you're the comedy guy, you can't really do that pose, because no one's going to take it seriously.
And I think there's another one of like, does this guy think he's Usher, or is he Jim Carrey? Like, we don't know what's going on, because I post both.
Yeah, of course.
Right.
So I started, the comedy started working better. I felt more comfortable being goofy. And so I started to, a lot of stuff that started going viral post Vine was like putting the two together, where I'd just be like, national anthems be like, and I would just sing insane runs and stuff where it was both like funny and people would be like, oh, he can sing. And so that was my shtick for a good long while. And it just kept leading to more and more jokes and comedy. And I still try to work in the music and singing because I do love it. But
that's more the thing. That's kind of the journey. The thing that's
I'll go. I'm so sorry. I'll go. Well, I was going to ask you what your relationship was like with music, because I have known of you for, I don't know, a couple years now. And it started with my wife. We would be like laying in bed and she would, maybe like once a month, she would be like, babe, he's got another good one. You got to watch this. And would crack up. There was many, many times where my wife and I would just be dying laughing at one of your videos. And then it wasn't until I think this morning where I was researching stuff about you for the interview that I was like, I'm listening to your music in the kitchen. I'm like, this guy can really sing. Like, I wonder what is his relationship like to music now? And not just, you know, not the comedy music stuff, but like, if you could like break yourself up into two different people, would you do it so you could kind of have that music career and also keep your comedy thing going? Or what's that like now?
Yeah, I appreciate that, man. I definitely have ideas in the back of my head, and as you guys, you know very well, it's a matter of, you know, what's worth your time. And mm-hmm. I did that first EP in like 2017 when it was like, I'm trying to be a legitimate artist. I was trying to get signed, like a record deal. I was trying to do all that. And, had some meetings and stuff, and it kind of came down to it where I noticed at a couple, I just had a couple like meetings that I, in hindsight, probably weren't that legitimate, but on the, you know, baby steps, I remember they'd be like, so do you want to do this? I think I'd even like straight up in like the interview with a record label be like, I mean, kind of, you know, and I'd like leave. I was like, oh, yeah, I don't think I want to do this that bad.
Uh-huh.
You know, like move to LA and like grind and develop as an artist and like try to be cool singer guy. I was like, man, yeah. And when I was confronted with like the first glimpse of like, go for this, I was like, man, I don't.
Yeah.
That's not it. Yeah. So, and then as time went on, I built the comedy thing. I went back and did another EP that's like trying to be good, legitimate music, but with a comedic tilt where we wrote and put Bruce's whole song about being caught in the friend zone.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of fun. And that, you know, got a decent reaction, but it, you know, it becomes an element of like, now I'm grateful to have a lot of opportunities comedically. I've got to really focus on what's working, but I do have hopes of down the road, I can do something more with music, whether that's like legitimate, just very different. It's like real music, or there's some still comedic angle to it or whatever, but I'd still like to do it down the road.
It is. It's so interesting to me. I feel like I don't know if I'm right when I say this, but I feel like if people are presented with a choice between laughing really hard or hearing really great music, I feel like 98% of the time they want to laugh. And so the dilemma you have sometimes when you're both funny and musical is that it's just the lower hanging fruit because there's so much less work involved. You know, you just listen and laugh. There's not sort of music you have to engage and as much as it's power. But I think that's always an interesting thing to me. Like I'm always so fascinated by that because I think, you know, I have a lot of, I mean, John's hysterical. It's like, you know, there's a lot of friends I know that are really funny and I'm like, man, if they tried this, but I think knowing they're good at music, you always have this problem because I think people have a hard time, I think, holding both. They're all, you know what I mean?
I mean, I think comedy always has been, especially now in the social media age, the barrier to entry. I mean, you could just kind of put up your phone in front of your face and be funny, but it's like, you can't just, I mean, you can kind of sing a little bit, but you can't be like, and in 5 minutes, I'm going to show you how I make great music.
Right.
It's like, now you got to get in a studio. And so I think that's part of it too. And what a lot of people don't realize is it's a lot of, if you can do it all, it's a whole lot of time. And if you can't, which most can't do it all, you've got to pay people pretty good money to produce or.
John.
Oh, Dave. No. I thought we were counting off.
Oh.
I'm just going to go.
Are you, are you ready? And when I say are you really, like, are you really, really ready for fall?
Oh, I am so ready. Okay. Like, so ready that I cannot wait, but I'll have to.
You do.
But I don't want to.
Okay.
I mean, Dave, cooler temperatures.
Yeah.
changing leaves. You know how much I love leaves, especially when they're changing.
I know.
And all the special fall flavors start hitting the store shelves and coffee shops.
Fall flavors, you say?
That's right.
Well, you're going to want to try my new concoction, Johnny.
Okay.
Johnny.
What is it?
I made it in a giant cauldron. I didn't really have a lot of time, so I combined all the fall flavors into one delicious warm beverage.
Smells interesting.
Awesome.
Okay, what do you have in there?
It's pumpkin spice apple cider with cranberry infused candy corn, topped with maple brown cinnamon pears and salted caramel ginger. Try just a little bit of it.
I wish I could, but as luck would have it, I don't have anything to put it in, so I'm gonna have to, pass.
No, John, not to worry. I just received my new Voyager coffee mugs from Simple Modern. Here, you can have the forest green one. That's my least favorite one.
Oh. God, the Voyager is awesome, but that drink is tasty.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, I can tell. Feels like you don't like it. That's what it feels like I'm reading here.
Well, listen, here's what I do like. Oh. Simple Modern, Dave. They have the best water bottles, tumblers, coffee mugs, and more for the fall season.
Ooh.
Speaking of cauldrons, Dave, they even have a new Harry Potter collection, along with Marvel characters, NFL teams, that's National Football League, and so much more. So go to simplemodern.com/dadville, and by sharing your email, you'll get a unique discount code just for you. It's different than all the other ones, just like you. Or bundle and save for back to school. This should be your go-to brand for your family.
Hello, Dave. Wow. Okay, yours was better than mine. Johnny.
Thanks.
Are you loving this warmer weather? Summer is just around the corner.
Dave, I am so glad that you brought that up because the weather has been so great. Mm. I'm playing tennis, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting outside on the porch in my tennis shoes. Going for walks in different shoes. I don't walk in tennis shoes. Yeah, I mean, it's so nice. And honestly, I don't really want to be spending too much time in the kitchen making meals because there's so many other
John, that's where Factor comes in. You can fuel up with Factor's no prep, no mess meals, so you can spend more time outside.
Okay, it sounds good, but Dave, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Can I meet my wellness goals in time for summer with Factor?
I hope you've got goals and then more goals, John, because we'd call you Cristiano Ronaldo. Soccer joke.
Heyo.
And guess what? And then some, John. It's going to be just fine. Factor has chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. And Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
Dave, that sounds so awesome. You've talked me into it. I'm ready.
Wow, that was easy.
I'm ready to kickstart my routine with 35 different meals.
Good gracious.
And more than 60 add-ons to choose from, Dave. Did you know that? I'm educating you now. And these are restaurant-quality meals like filet mignon, shrimp, blackened salmon.
Enjoy effortless support for your lifestyle. Choose from 6 menu preferences to help you manage calories, maximize protein intake, avoid meat, or simply eat well-balanced.
Head to factormeals.com/dadville50 and use the code dadville50 to get 50% off. That's 50, 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month.
That's code DADVILLE50 at factormeals.com/DADVILLE50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
John, sorry.
Do you hear that?
Yeah, are those crickets? Feels like they're nearby. You know I fear crickets, Dave. Are those
John,
crickets?
John, it's not actual crickets. It's just a sound effect.
Oh, my gosh.
And it means that it's a sale you just missed out on because you're not selling on Shopify, John.
I blew it. But I'm still glad that it wasn't crickets.
Well, maybe you'll like this sound effect better. Okay, buckle up. Here's what it sounds like with Shopify.
Oh, that sounds so much better.
Shopify is the commerce platform revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide.
That's right, Dave. Whether you're a garage entrepreneur or IPO ready, like Dadville is, Shopify is the only tool you need to start, run, and grow your business without the struggle.
Gosh, you are so right, John. Thanks, Shopify man. Puts you in control of every sales channel.
All of them.
So whether you're selling satin sheets from Shopify's in-person POS system or offering organic olive oil on Shopify's all-in-one e-commerce platform, you're covered.
You are crushing it in both of those industries right now.
I used to use them for tanning, but I don't anymore.
Also, once you've reached your audience, Shopify has the internet's best converting checkout to help you turn them from browsers to buyers.
Oh, I love that B2B. Yeah. What's incredible to me about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, mm-hmm. Shopify is there to empower you with the confidence and control to take your business to the next level.
That's right. Dave, did you know this? Shopify powers 10% of all, you did know that, all e-commerce in the U.S.
Yeah.
That's insane. And Shopify is truly a global force, ooh, powering Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen. Also, millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 170
plus,
countries.
Plus, John, listen to this that you don't know. Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way.
this is possibility powered by Shopify. I did know that. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/dadville, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Dadville to take your business to the next level today.
Can we both tell them this, John? Here we go.
Yeah.
Shopify.com/Dadville.
So tell me this. I'm so fascinated with this. So what was it like? I mean, I feel like you were, you kind of came in on the ground floor with a lot of sort of the viral humor. I mean, like Vine was... You know, I really loved Vine, and paid attention to a lot of comedy, including yours on there. And it was so funny because, what a weird way to make something funny. And I mean, it was so short. It was just like, which was great if you could figure it out, because, man, it was like, but you did that. You know, you then transitioned to the other platforms and now have this great career. I mean, I can't imagine what it would be like going from like, you know, you're hanging with your friends at OSU or whatever, post-grad school, whatever, and you post something and then somebody's like, dude, have you looked at that? And you're like, there's like a million views. And it's just you and your bros watching Monday Night Football. And every 10 minutes, you're like, there's another 300 that, you know, to go into where it is now. You know, but you were one of those guys that were kind of in on the beginning of that sort of thing, you know, where things catch and they go viral. And I remember, too, being curious with some of the people that I love so much on Vine going, are they going to be able to sort of make that two-step over to the platform? Because it's such a different type of humor. You know, now you got a minute or you got, I don't know, whatever you want on YouTube. But like, what was it like? I'm so curious to know, especially the beginning where you're like, holy cow, this is kind of like working. You know, did you suddenly get into rhythms with it, or was it, I'm just going to do it when it's funny? Or, you know, how much were you thinking about that?
Yeah, I was 19 in college. Like I described earlier, a lot of free time, goofing off, and just, it's wild when I do podcasts and stuff like this. I mean, this is 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. I've been doing it that long. And I remember one of my first like light bulb moments was I saw this guy who had, I don't know, 50,000 followers on Vine. I was looking at his Vines. I'm like, oh, these are good. And then so I start Googling like who's, this guy's obviously, I don't know, some famous person I'm not aware of. And I start to realize like, this is a normal guy who got 50,000 followers from, that idea didn't really even exist 10 mm-hmm. years ago. It was like, if you have followers, you were a famous person that signed up for Twitter.
Yeah, right.
And so that was the first of like, I can just become famous by being funny on the internet. And so I got into like, just trying, you know, in my head, I'm like, what if I got like 5,000 followers?
Right.
That was back in the day when you had maybe 100 followers and you're like, the popular person on campus had 500.
Yeah.
What is this person doing? And I slowly got up. I had a couple, it was like more singing videos, and it went up to 5-10,000. And I remember friends were going nuts, and we were all like, dude, I bet you might end up getting 50,000 followers. And posted a few videos that did the whole overnight, like wake up to tens of thousands, of hundreds of thousands. And then that 3 months later, I had a million followers.
Jeez Louise.
And it was really
in 3 months.
Intense. Yeah.
That's insane.
Because there was only like, I was probably the 10th person on Vine to get a million followers.
Wow.
Like there was like 20 of us.
Yeah.
And it just happened really quickly. And like, it's just fascinating because now if someone gets a million followers, I think everyone knows mm-hmm. like your life's about to change.
Yeah.
You quit your job.
Yeah.
You're making a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then it was just like, I was like, well, that's cool.
As you're eating so at CC's Pizza, cranking through buffets. I mean,
$0 of any kind. I didn't even cross my mind to make money off it. Right. I was just like, this is kind of a fun thing I did. I go back to school, go back to class, and I got hit up by an email where this guy's like, hey, man, I'll pay you like $300 to promote this like phone case I made on the internet or something random. And I was like, cool. And I just made a Vine of like this phone case that, you know, got 4 million loops, they called it, which, you know, it's like it today, some kid would get paid. Who knows how much for that? And that was the very beginnings of like, wait, that makes sense. I could, I have something valuable here. And that was really, and then stuff started coming in and pouring in, and slowly over the years that by the end of college, I was kind of did the MBA too. Cause I'm like, I'm making like a full-time living.
By no one really knows it.
Yeah. Jeez. I mean, I didn't need money at all. Like I was still applying for jobs cause I had no belief this would turn into a career. Yeah. I was still like, I mean, what am I going to do? Make vines for the next 30 years. But there was an element of like, I mean, I guess I'll stick around in college. I'm making money off of this. I don't know where it's headed. This is confusing. So
what is your relationship like with, like when you were talking about earlier, where you started having those experiences where you post a video, you go to sleep, the next morning it's got like 15,000 more views than when you went to bed. What is your relationship with the work like in that regard? Like for Dave and I, it's the equivalent of, you know, we put a new song out and we've got our, you know, we hope that we get some playlists. You just like, but you have to square up to the reality and your expectation and this song didn't do as well as that song, all that kind of stuff.
Of course.
You're at a level where from the outside looking in, sure, everybody would be like, oh, he's made it. He's good. But we both know that you've got some relationship with that and your expectations with this video and the videos that you wanted to, you know, hit a certain spot that didn't or whatever. What's that like for you now?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you guys totally get it. It comes in these waves and the target's always changing, and but it's always the same too, right? It's always like you make up this new target and you're bummed if you hit it. You don't hit it, you're pumped if you do. Right. It's at the start. And like, I haven't even really thought of this since, but it's insane. Like I got to 1 million followers so fast. All my videos were getting, there wasn't even really views on it yet. It was just likes, but there was a tab on that app where all the top liked videos went. So it was just a goal to get on there. And I was just obsessed, having fun. It was a challenge. You know, nothing mattered. It wasn't my job. It wasn't even making money. It was just fun. And then as time went on and I got years into Vine, and you start to see maybe views go down or things change. And yeah, I remember like I'd post a video that would only get like 3 million views and I'd be like devastated, which in hindsight, it was such a wild west of social media where if you were just one of the top people on there, there was no algorithm hindering you. It was just
it's going.
Like now social media prioritizes like smaller creators and like, but if you had 5 million followers, they just sent it to 5 million followers.
Yeah.
So in hindsight, it was like, man, I was living the dream, but that, you know, I had a certain number in my head like I do now. And I've been doing it long enough where I feel like I'm in a good headspace, but it was probably 3 years into it, really, when I had that first big moment of like, oh man, I'm kind of tying too much of myself up into this.
Right.
And you get, oh man, are people unfollowing me? Am I a piece of crap? You start doing all that. So
was there a moment that you noticed like where, you know, you went out for, or maybe like, especially if you traveled during that time for spring break and then people are recognizing you, was that happening?
That was a big part of, I probably had that 2 or 3 month span where it popped, I probably had 2 or 3 instances where, cause I was in Stillwater, Oklahoma. You see the same people, but I'd go back home to Oklahoma City or something and go out to the mall and some kid would be like, I'd be like checking out at KFC. He'd be like, wait, you make those Vines? And I was a shy kid. So I start another kind of light bulb moment of like, there's real people following. It didn't even occur to me when I got 1 million followers. Like now people say hey to me. And so that was a big moment too, where I debated kind of stopping making videos. I'm like, is this?
Wow.
I don't like this. I don't, do I want to walk around in public and have people holler at me? Like as minimal as it was, it wasn't very often, but that was another big moment too, where I was like, ah, because I didn't like attention at all at that point, at least publicly.
Yeah.
Because of the Shy. Now I love it. And if it ever went away, I'd be devastated. But yeah, that was a big weird time too, where I was like, okay, kids are walking up to me. It was weird too, because Vine was, I mean, I was 19 making like homework jokes.
Yeah.
So I had like 13-year-olds running up to me like I was Justin Bieber. So that has stopped, and it's like a bunch of people like
more our age,
which is very pleasant. Yeah. But that was weird for sure.
Yeah. But you're like,
okay, I want to ask what may end up being like, because you guys are both comedians, so this may end up being the ridiculous question that the non-comedian of the group asks, because I'm overthinking what it's like to create comedy. So forgive me if this is ridiculous, but like one of my, arguably my favorite videos of yours is, I don't know the actual title of it, but it's the right left, you know, where you personify the right and the left.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Trey.
It is so good.
It is genius. Oh, that video is genius.
That's awesome. See, I feel like real creatives like yourself appreciate it, because that's one I'm like, I really spent extra time on. And
bro,
it's like,
you know what? I think it's so good. And John and I watched it together this morning, like just to be like, let's get in the headspace. And the thing that is so because to me, there's like different levels to humor. I mean, there's everything, but there's like funny. Like you're like, oh, that's funny. I buy high fives. That was funny. But then there's like that where you're like, oh, this isn't just funny. He sat down to make hooks throughout the thing where they both say the same thing and that are actually profound. And you're like,
if anyone's listening who hasn't seen this video, you should pause the podcast, watch the video. And then
it's kind of humor at its highest form.
And like and subscribe.
It's not just
hit that
like button. But like, you know, it's high. It's the highest form of humor, because it's not just humorous. It's like profound. You know what I mean? It's like you kind of go, but it's so good, dude. It's so good.
Thank you. Yeah, I do think what's natural to me in my core is more lighthearted humor. Like, you know, I'm sure as you guys are in the content game, you start to get tempted to be like the next great philosopher or something, you know? Right. So I try to like not, but that one was flexing
so
the muscle
good.
A little
it
bit
so
and
good.
It was fun. That was birthed from literally like hanging out with two of my friends, one who's super liberal and one who's super conservative. Uh-huh. And they both like in different conversations, well, actually separate. I talked to them separately, and they both talked about how they don't watch the NFL. And I was like, that's fascinating, because it's for such different reasons. I'm like,
right.
And it's like, and you start thinking like there's so many ways that like the far ends of the spectrum like kind of land in the same spot in like weird different ways. They don't even realize it. Okay, right. Time out really quick. Sorry, guys. I just realized I didn't realize my laptop's this show. Can I just grab my charger?
Please do.
Go ahead.
Okay,
go ahead.
Sorry.
This is the second.
What can we do to make this, to pick this up and save this interview? Because it's not going
He's
great.
So mean.
I didn't expect him to be just so bitter.
If he had,
you know what I mean?
If he had clothes on, I could focus more.
I know. That distracted me too in the beginning.
And just pull the camera up.
And does he have to do all the poses? I don't get that.
It helps.
I mean,
it helps. I will say that. It does help. If also you could put your clothes on, just FYI. I know you're trying to make
I wanted him to feel good about his decision to not wear clothes.
Him seeing you is not making him feel better.
Okay. You can tell that.
That's 100%. Okay. That's whispering.
All right.
There we go. I heard the sound. Okay, so here's my eye roll question. Because what makes that video so great, like Dave was saying, there's, you know, a guy getting hit in the head with a mallet, right? There's like, that's this comedy. And then there's like profound truth that is making a statement on like our society at the moment. That video has both and layers between and all that kind of stuff. Do you start with like an interesting concept and try to make it funny? Or do you find yourself getting hit on the head with a mallet and be like, well, how can I tie this to culture right now? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's more finding, kind of what you said the first time, finding the idea and then making it funny. I think as a comedian and as time's gone on, I got more confident. It's kind of like a fun challenge. Like I believe I can make anything funny to some degree. It's more so just, what's the thing that's going to resonate with people or people relate to or what's big happening now. So I think when I made that video, you know, the whirlwind of those couple of years of left versus right and all that. And those just moments of inspiration, like two of my friends saying they won't watch the NFL. And it's like, oh, that's interesting. And you just, sometimes it hits you and you just run with it and it kind of comes together. And sometimes it's, we spend hours writing a script that's like all woven together and it's kind of disappointing. And there's times where I just like get into a character and improv for 30 minutes and it goes crazy viral. So it's always like confusing and frustrating, but like in a great way.
Yeah.
You never know.
How many have you done where you're like halfway through and you're like, this isn't funny? Like you can just feel.
Yeah. What's on the cutting room floor that we don't see?
There's a decent amount of videos that hardly get posted because you start to during the shoot, sometimes you're most of the time, even shooting it, you're still like, okay, I think that's decent. There's rarely times where even in the middle, I'll be like, I think we just need to move on. This isn't. But then sometimes you see the edit. Yeah, I almost always know once I see the edit and I watch it. And there's almost this weird part of, even though it's my video, I'm like, I just really enjoyed watching it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's sometimes where I'm like, I just, darn, that didn't really come out the way I really thought.
I was imagining it.
And I'd have to imagine that you are having to deal with responding to people with such a following that you have on all these platforms. People are, especially if you're doing a video where you're commenting on anything political, even though that video that we're referencing is making, neutral statements about both sides, all that kind of stuff. How do you sort of police that for yourself? Are you like, you know what, I'm not going to read the comments or I'm just going to dive in full in and respond to everybody?
Yeah, the best part of doing this for so long, especially comedy for so long, is I sometimes feel like a sociopath because I'm like, at this point, I don't respond to anything anyone says, really. Uh-huh. Now, even being on stage, I mean, my fans are really great and nice, normal people, but there's still times where all some insane will happen. I got booed a few weeks ago. And then it's like, 8 years ago, I would have just cried and left.
Yeah.
But then, and now I'm a sicko. And I was like pumped. I was like, now I'm going to make fun of this person. It's sometimes it's worrisome, but it doesn't bother me. And when you go into the political stuff, which was, I always said I didn't want to do, but it was almost like impossible for a few years there. Mm-hmm. It was so prevalent. So I really, it's like, we're going to make fun of both sides, do the classic thing. And there's just no, like the video you're referencing, left versus right, make fun of both sides. You'll see comments. People will be like, yeah, Biden's the worst. Trump 2024. Like, I made fun of you too. What, did you watch it? People will just take what they want to. It's just so
right.
Confirmation bias. And I'm like, whatever. Yeah. I mean.
Dave, I've been reading Rooted, okay?
Okay.
The NIV, Bible for Men,
uh-huh.
And I can't put it down. Have you checked it out at all?
Oh, yeah. I love it. Okay, so not just you, it's also me loving it. It's new from Zondervan Bible Publishers, designed to help you connect with your identity in Christ. It's Rooted, Dave.
Yep.
The NIV Bible for Men and Flourish, the NIV Bible for Women. Dave, what is so good about Rooted?
Sitting here wondering if you're going to ask this, okay?
Yeah.
Sometimes I got a million thoughts running through my little Enneagram 7 brain, okay? Mm-hmm. So I love the summary of talking points and questions at the beginning of each book of the Bible. It helps center my focus about what I'm trying to read and what I'm looking for.
Yeah. Another cool thing is the profiles that it has on certain people in
the
Bible.
Yep.
Rooted goes a little more in depth about important figures and also the roles that they played.
Yeah. Other features include myth articles that expose commonly accepted myths of our culture and refute them with God's word, which is awesome. It has notes that offer clarity into the attributes of God and has questions for growth that you can answer alone with a friend or in a small group.
Both of these Bibles, Flourish for Women and Rooted for Men, offer the knowledge, strength, and clarity to navigate life's challenges with Scripture as your guide.
And Flourish, the NIV Bible for Women, and Rooted, the NIV Bible for Men, are available both in hardcover and leather soft styles.
Find out more and order your copy at amazon.com/rootedandflourish.
That's amazon.com/rootedandflourish. Oh, Johnny.
Yeah. Are you okay?
Oh, I got to tell you, it's why I'm rubbing my, you can see just how much I'm rubbing my belly here. I
yeah,
just
with
made
both
the instant
hands.
Pot baby back ribs recipe from Butcher Box Double B, and it was absolutely amazing.
That sounds amazing. Do you have any left?
John, those things were gone in mere minutes. Okay. Why would you even
that's
ask
a bummer.
That? Yeah.
Look, I need my meats, Dave.
Yeah.
I say it all the time. Arguably too much. I need my meats. How do I get my very own supply from ButcherBox?
I know. Just chill out, okay?
Okay.
It's so easy. The only hard part is deciding which meats to choose, John.
Okay. What are some of your favorites?
I think it was that. Oh, yeah. I usually go with the mixed box.
Yeah.
Okay, it comes with grass-fed beef. Don't give me...
Only grass.
Oh, my gosh. Don't get me started. Free-range organic chicken and pork-raised crate-free.
Oh, all right. So what if I want to just straight beef?
Hey, now you're talking. Uh-huh. Okay. Just go to Custom Box All Beef and have ButcherBox shipped right to your door.
You know what, Dave? It sounds like I certainly have no beef with the benefits of ButcherBox.
I lobbed it, and I just wanted you to spike it. That's
I knocked it out of the ballpark, to use a sports reference. Let's give the people a little bit of time to stop laughing, and then I'll pick right up. Here we go. Okay, it beats the prices at the grocery store, Dave, and it's high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust, humanely raised with no antibiotics or added hormones.
John, I've never trusted seafood, mm-mm. And now I do.
Now you can.
It's delivered free right to your doorstep, and box plans are customizable in both size and frequency.
That's right. A variety of high-quality cuts at an amazing value, plus exclusive member deals, recipe inspirations, guides, tips, and hacks. Now, Dave, it's time to tell them about our special deal. Tell them.
I thought you'd never ask. ButcherBox is giving us a special deal because we are special.
Mm-hmm.
And you are special.
You're special.
Sign up today at ButcherBox.com/Dadville and use code Dadville to get $20 off your first order.
That's ButcherBox.com/Dadville and use the code Dadville to claim this offer.
So one of the things that I was laughing at watching your videos this morning, which I was thinking, like, does your wife ever, like, is she ever, like, you know, is that me? Are you doing me right now? Or like where you're like, she's halfway through a conversation. Don't grab your phone. I know I said that wrong, but do not grab your phone. Because you're like, no, I'm sure I write down exactly how you mispronounced.
I think I take for granted what a good sport she is. And she, like, just doesn't care at all. And I think she fully trusts me. She's really never spoken up. It's more like my mom or my sister. They can get a little bit like, all right, we're making fun of my, but they're still good sports. Like, my parents came to my show and, you know, some materials about them. And this is pretty, you know, I grew up with a sweet Christian mom. This is a great character of her. I was like, Mom, was there anything that, like, offended you? I just want to make sure. And she's like, you know, the one joke about, you kind of mentioned, you know, when you and Katie, I was like, no, when I talked about you, I'm not the whole thing. She just thought I was like doing a check of like the G rate. Like, well, you went a little, you pushed it there. That wasn't quite clean enough. I was like, that's not what I was asking.
Come on, Mom.
She's like, oh yeah, you can talk about me all you want. I think my parents get a kick out of it. But you forget to, like, part of my set on stage, I make fun of, inspired by, I make fun of like what my cousin named their child, and they like come to the show and kind of, and it's like, oh yeah, I've done that so many times now. I was like, I didn't even cross my mind that you were literally there, and you know, they're good sports stuff, but there's a balance of, it is all inspired by real life, but
I don't know who said it, but there's some famous quote from some author that was like, if your family and friends aren't, I'm butchering this, but if your family and friends aren't a little bit mad at you or something like that, you're not really writing. You guys heard that?
Ooh, I like that.
Somebody said that.
I thought you were going to say, I've heard before, like, if you're, you need to make sure that everything I'm saying about whoever, if they were in the room, would I still say?
Oh,
Which I think is a great rule. And it's funny. I made fun of another kind of friend of ours, inspired by, clearly, and they like couldn't make it to the show when my other friends did. Like, oh, dude, if they were there, would you have said that? I'm like, yes, that's just my material.
Yeah, yeah.
What kind of monster I'd be. I was like, oh, they can't make it tonight?
Well.
Listen to this. It's like, that's not what I did.
That is amazing.
Okay, so we were talking about Vine earlier, and I forgot to ask this. Because Vine, popped up. I don't necessarily always have my ear to the ground on what's cool. So maybe it could have been, you know, hot for longer than what I thought. But Vine, whatever happened, it went away. But that was your start. That's where you got your start on Vine.
It was hugely popular from like 2013 to 16.
Yeah.
Really.
And, you know, I remember when MySpace was the thing. Like you were talking about, like an Aware store. Dave, remember Aware store?
Oh yeah.
You were talking about where you would like wake up in the morning and check, like, did my video get on that thing? That used to be Aware store for us. And those, both of those things sort of go away. And there's a moment where they start to, you know, secede, where you're like, I'm losing my platform. Like, it's a little scary. Was that your experience at all with Vine, or was it, were you like, no, there'll always be some new platform. I'll get big on TikTok now or whatever.
No, that was a great learning lesson, which now, like you said, I'm on everything now and I'll never make that mistake again. But there's a lot of savvy kids on Vine who'd have millions of followers on Vine and turn that into 500,000 Instagram followers. And I was just like, I was still very pressured. Like if a kid now, like we're saying, you get a million followers, everyone knows your life's going to change. You're going to make money. You also are cool. Like 10 years ago, I got a million followers and some people thought it was cool. And then also half the campus was like, how many videos is this guy going to make in his dorm room? Like, what is he? And so I was like bullied. It's like, now I'd be the coolest kid on campus.
Right, right.
And I was like, I would be like out at the bars and I'd see people like pointing and laughing. I'll never forget.
That's amazing.
It's like, they talk about how like internet trolls, like they never do it in person. Well, in college they do. Those kids have guts back in the day. I was in line for like a late night hot dog on my college campus. And there's a group of people in front of me. There's something out of like a movie. And they go, hey guys, look. It's Vine extraordinaire Trey Kennedy. And they all laughed in unison. And my buddy leans over and goes, just don't listen to him. And it was like a moment where I was like, what is happening? Why? It was like,
that's tough.
Well,
all jokes aside, I was legit bullied.
You nailed it though, because there was this perception at the beginning of like, oh, that's like a guy or girl who sits in whatever room and shoots these how dare you think you're that cool to do that? We're now,
like, even now I told you, I was like, I was making money and you're like, really? I mean, no, what? And I'm really glad and grateful. I never was like, well, guess how I'm making money. I just kept that to myself, but you know, no one, people's jaw would hit the floor if I was like, well, I'm making a full-time living doing this. They would have been like, what? You know, they just thought I was a lunatic.
And I think that's what's so fascinating. I'm so glad you said that, because I think it's hard to realize that anyone younger, especially, but you know, those of us in their 40s know this a little better. But like, you know, there was a time where that really, it wasn't cool. It was just so foreign. It was like, wait, hold on. So you're telling me during the day, you're going to go in a room and shut the door and like film yourself? You know, like it really, you would have, you know, you'd have gone, well, that is he okay? Is like, is everything, did we check on him? You know?
And I was, because going to Oklahoma State, I mean, no one there has on their mind to like be a performer or entertainer, you know? So that, there's that extra element. And I definitely held back on some of my dreams and some of the things I was ideating on because of that pressure. And like, I didn't build my Instagram because like Instagram was the thing and everyone was on it. So I felt like if I started blowing that up I'm just going to get bullied more. Now they're really seeing it. So I let that get to me. And when, to answer your question, when Vine starts falling apart and disappearing, every influencer, every Viner is trying to get their following to other platforms. But by the time Vine was deleted, I had 2.6 million followers and it deleted. And then my Instagram had like 40,000.
Wow.
So I was pretty much back to square one.
Yeah.
And this was as I was wrapping up my MBA and I was applying for jobs. I was getting nowhere. I was trying to, this is, again, people are, it's just too soon. I'm trying to convince marketing agencies. I was like, well, I think I'm creative. Maybe that's the role. I was like, look what I've done on social media. I've worked with Pepsi. I've worked with Dunkin' Donuts. They're like, social media, I don't.
Wow.
They weren't even prepared for that. So I kind of was like, kind of got angry. I was like, dude, forget all this corporate stuff. I so disagree with them. Like, let's try to build this back up. And thank God I was able to get viral on Instagram and Facebook. And
so it probably makes you appreciate it all the more.
Oh.
Like for so early in your start, to have to kind of go back to square one you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And the new challenge of 60-second videos and it builds confidence too, right? It's like, it's not, I wasn't some fluke who could do 6-second videos. It's like, okay, I'm able to make these videos longer and maybe I can do this. And, I think any person, any entrepreneur, especially like a creative and stuff, when you hit maybe those first big songs or videos, there's certainly in the back of your head, like, can I replicate this?
Right.
And it takes replicating it a lot for you to finally, for especially me, to finally sit back and be like, okay, I can do this in some capacity. My career's not going to end any day now. I think I can do some part of this.
Do you have some version of the, like, you know, like for us, like every song we write feels like that's the last song I'll ever be able to write. Is that at all in your brain at all with videos and ideas?
Oh yeah. I mean, I have a buddy who's a music producer full time and we joke about like, it's like we get to do this job we like, but it's, we joke, like, we don't even really know how much money we have or believe in it. Like, it just feels like monopoly money. It's like, I guess I get an email that says, we'll pay you this. We sign a contract and it's put in an account. I'm like, is that in there? Did I deserve that? And then you just keep, I joke, my wife, like 3 times a year, I go, just start prepping now. The career's tanked.
Oh yeah.
I sense it. People are done. They're done with Trey. Yep. And then she's like, ah, oh, very fun. And there is, there's that sense of, I mean, this is going to peak at some point. And even when it peaks, like, how hard is it going to go downhill? And yeah, I mean, that's always.
But you're so wise to be doing the live stand-up stuff, too, because I feel like that's such a great, you know, that's a much more understood sort of path and trajectory. And, you know, and I think that's the thing that is always so fascinating to me about, you know, people who have careers, the content creators who are just online, like everything they're doing is based on that, which is great and obviously extremely profitable. But, you know, at some point you do wonder, because we don't know. I mean, you as much as anybody, you're sort of the tip of the spear on that. Like, this is just all new air. It's all new lands we're exploring. Like, who knows how it goes? Who knows shelf life? If people kind of, you know, to your point, if all of a sudden, you know, a platform disappears, and, you know, you just don't know. And so I think the great thing about what you're doing is be able to go, no, we need to kind of get this into books. Let's get stand up going. Let's get like more traditional, not quite as based on that, just so you have those things going too, which I think is really wise, you know?
Thanks. Yeah. I'm very grateful the stand up and the touring has worked, because I think that's done a lot to alleviate my terror of like, man, these videos, and like a couple months go by, the views are going down. You're like, what is it really? Can I not figure this out? And, you know, thus far, I've always figured it out. It goes like this and ups and downs, but it is nice to know, like, okay, I can go in the city and sell some amount of tickets. And to have that a whole other business, it feels like, really grateful for, because it'd be tough to purely be content, because it's so unpredictable and so out of your control.
Well, that, you know,
which the ticket buying and straight to customers just gives so much control back.
Well, I remember talking to, we've had Tyler from Dude Perfect on, and talking to them, which fascinated me, because they did a cruise and they had me come play on it, and we were all hanging, and even they were saying, I mean, you know, they're one of the biggest content creators in the world, but they were like, Dave, they don't really honor us at YouTube. Like, they love that we're on their platform, we all make money, but there's not a sense of every time we put a video out, they're juicing it. He's like, it's not as much as a crapshoot. It's like a small brand new person doing it. But he's like, it's not as, you said it so well before, like I have this many followers, it's going to hit that follow, you know, that blew my mind. Cause you think like people like you, then these people who really do big content and doing big numbers, like they're like, dude, let's do it. But he's like, it's just not. So he said, even we will have, you put out a video and you're kind of looking at it going, okay, let's hope it catches. And I'm like, that blows my mind. Cause there's just so little control, you know?
There's so little control. I mean, I don't know how stressed Dude Perfect is. They're like billionaires. So I don't feel bad for them at all, but just for context too, like there was a phase there where Facebook was like all in on video, and clearly their algorithm was just firing out the like 3-4 minute videos. And I was getting easy 5 million views video, which was monetizing. And now it's, you know, TikTok changed everything. Yeah. Everything's short and vertical. And like when Facebook was like 1 year Facebook was probably 40% of my income.
Wow.
On those views. This year it's going to be 2%.
Really?
That's, I mean, it's crazy. Like, it's like, when else in business has there been this insane? Yeah. And like, just like that, TikTok started some new program where they'll pay you for some views. So where I made $0 on TikTok, now there's like not a huge amount, but a fairly significant. And it's just weird like that, where I've had numerous experiences on different platforms where they get you get an email, and overnight they're like, we just flipped the switch where now you go from $0 to thousands of dollars for this. And it's like,
it's crazy.
I guess that's cool, but this is scary too.
It would
you
be
could
like
just press a button.
Back in the day, like Eddie Murphy is doing a stadium tour, and like Live Nation's like, you know what? We actually changed things. So
yeah,
like 90% of the people who bought tickets, we gave them the wrong address.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, hey, this year you're gonna do the same thing and make 20% as much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, crazy.
To me. Okay. I guess I have to. And that's what I say. Thank God for touring and other things. Yeah. Cause you know, my income hasn't gone down 40% because of other things I'm trying to do, and thank God I'm doing it. But there's so many kids out there who, or you know, not even kids anymore, everyone, they're like, okay, YouTube is my thing, I'm making this money, and then the whole thing shifts and they make half of what they thought they were going to make. I mean, it's wild.
So how has, you know, we were talking about Thomas, right? Your little guy, 6 month old
little guy. Thomas,
how has that, I mean, I saw the video, I was watching it this morning, about where you're watching the monitor. But I mean, that has to be such a fun thing, because now there's, you got like a couple more colors in the you know, in the paints that you can sort of, have you found that that's changed a lot of your humor, or sort of what you're trying to do, or you know, as a dad, and how you're thinking about what you do?
Oh yeah, I mean, it's all my comedy and how I've always written it is just my experiences. So it's been a great new, I mean, yeah, if you're in writer's block and you're a comedian, just have a kid.
Yeah.
It's a great reason.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why you should have them, for your own.
It's a write-off too, just FYI.
Yeah, it's a write-off.
Oh, the tax benefits are amazing.
Oh, unbelievable. It has been fun just to relate to, not even professionally, just my friends too. I mean, as you guys know, I mean, becoming a parent is just a whole new world. And it's been fun to relate to those people, make fun of people who aren't parents.
everything.
And it's really... That has just been a great life.
I imagine too, because you know, I'm sure it has to be opening up some new fans for you, because people, you know, moms who might not have watched the stuff before suddenly are getting forwarded, you know, like that video, and then they relate to it, and then they start scrolling more, or they're following you or paying more attention, because now it's like, oh, he's making kid jokes, and I know that humor, and that's my life, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I would hope so, and there's a balance. I try to do all of it, not because then you're like, am I alienating non-parents? That's in your head. But by and large, I mean, a lot of my following is just very similar to me. And so it's kind of cool to grow with them. And I had a lot of parent fans. So I see a ton of comments and them saying like, well, it's so, we're so glad you're part of the club now, because now we got all this content. And it's, I remember when Katie was pregnant, I wasn't a parent yet, and she wasn't either. That's a big thing. Oh, I tell it. I tell you what, I've got in trouble for that. I'm so glad Katie wasn't pregnant during Mother's Day. I had some friends, they were pregnant with their first on Mother's Day. They're like, we got to go celebrate Mother's Day. I was like, for what? And oh, Katie jumped down my throat. She's like, they're creating life. They're beautiful. And I was like, okay. And it's so funny, this guy was so clueless. I was so convinced. I was like, I'm surprised you're mad at this, but I'll never say that again. I did a show once where someone, I was like, any moms here? And a girl raised her hand. I was like, how old's your kid? She's like, well, I'm pregnant. I was like, well, you're not a mom. And the crowd was kind of like, oh, you know. I was like, what? She's not.
So sorry.
But there should, I mean, if you're still first trimester, though.
Yeah. But
if you're like 8 months.
But that is,
I mean,
fodder.
Really...
Like for you, that is like, you're like, oh, yeah, this is, exactly. Oh, yeah, this content is gold right here.
But I tried to, in preparation, it was tricky too, because I knew, well, I would be touring all over as a dad. So as I'm prepping my hour as not a dad, I'm trying to like at least set some foundations for some of these bits.
Mm-hmm.
And as every parent knows, I mean, I completely underestimated it. I had no clue. Yeah. Absolutely no clue until you're actually doing it. So I remember trying to do this bit about how, like, come on, parenting's not that hard. Like, come on. basically. And as someone who wasn't even a parent yet,
yeah,
it never went that well. And I became a parent. I've not uttered the jokes yet. I was like, that was just wrong.
You knew.
Yeah. that was a good thing to learn. Yeah.
So how has it been for you becoming a dad? Like, has it been kind of what you expected? Did you always want to be a dad? Has it been harder than you thought?
All of those. I would tell Katie, I was like, being a dad is just something it's kind of like joining a fraternity. I was like, I don't think I ever wanted to. I was just, everyone was
doing it.
And like, it turned out,
place to sleep. Glad,
you know, like being a dad, I was like, I'm definitely glad I did it. It's been a good time. I don't know if I was like ever like, oh, I can't wait to be, I can't wait to be stuck at home.
Yeah.
You know? But as she like, but I guess maybe deep down I did. I remember the time, you know, we first saw the pregnancy test was positive, and that was like, that was the most emotional point of all of it for me.
Mm-hmm.
In a weird way. Yeah. I was just, that was even more, I mean, him obviously being birthed was very overwhelming, but even more so emotionally when that pregnancy strip was positive, I was like,
here we go.
Okay. This isn't like a funny joke anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's been an amazing experience. Definitely harder than I thought in terms of like just my patience and you know, because I was like, man, I'm doing this whole thing. I'm touring the country. I feel like my life is hard and I'm doing it. I mean, everyone has kids. I know a lot of dummies with kids. Mm. But you do it and it's very humbling because, yeah, my wife's like so many moms are. She's just like got this extra gear and this like bizarre mommy superpower where I'm like, dude, I'm done. Yeah. And she's just she keeps going. And so yeah, we're glad to be past the wild first, you know, 8 weeks, 10 weeks,
it
or whatever,
just gets easier from here.
So much
easier. That's what I've heard.
It's so much easier.
It's so easy.
They're really compliant once they learn how to talk too.
Once they start walking, then they can go do things for you. And...
yeah, yeah. So have you, I mean, speaking of that, I mean, has it been a struggle for y'all? Or what has it been like for y'all? I inferred that far too much because of my experience. What has it been like for y'all having the hours that you do like we do? Where, you know, you're kind of around. You know what I mean? It's like you're working, but... you know, unless you're going somewhere else to do it, you know, it's tricky. Yeah, like those first,
I can hear your voice. Yes, I'm gonna, you're like, yeah, does she talking. Nag you a lot too? Yeah, no.
She, oh, you're going to work. That's my favorite.
Yeah.
Oh, so
yeah, that's the tricky scenario when it's like middle of the day. My wife Amy's like, hey, can you do this thing, or can you pick the girls up, or whatever? And I'm like, well, I've got to. And she's like, what?
Yeah, finish that sentence, please.
What?
Yeah. You got, if she were here, she would be like, I do not do that.
You have a job.
Exactly.
On your little keys,
oh, you writing?
On your little piano.
Okay. Well, what'd you write today?
Right. Yeah. What'd you write? Let me hear it. Play it. Yeah.
That's,
man,
what you want on
that.
You
want that? Dude, that's something that the first, you know, the newborn phase, obviously, was locked in. We're doing it. And then we had a whole game plan. It was well planned out. When he was about 3 months, I started getting back traveling, so it was like in a good groove. But I toured pretty good for a couple months, and I've had kind of a month off ish which we were thrilled about. I was thrilled about staying home, just chilling. And then we had issues. And then it was like, what? Okay, I still have a job, right? I need to go do it. And so that's been a lot of communication of kind of, yeah, just what I want to be home and around, and I want to help, but also like, you can't ask me to help too much because I still think I need to provide for our family.
Yeah.
But what's the balance? And yeah, our jobs are creative, which oftentimes you can, like, just a bit ago. So now I go to our studio more often. I was like, I want to be around you guys. Yeah. So I'm not leaving. I'm like, I do need to, I just got to go. And it's like a couple hours ago, I caught myself. I was like, I don't know if I've done anything productive for an hour.
Oh, I know.
It's like, and she's back there, like, trying to get him to like eat a sweet potato. Come on. And I'm like, but I am like working, but, and then our job's fun. I go tour. She's like, and she's promised not to hold it over me. I was like, that, my job's fun, but sometimes she can't help it. She's like, well, you're running around having cocktails on boats in Florida.
Right.
I was like, I know. I'm sorry.
And you got to try to spin it negatively.
What do I do?
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, with the cocktail, it's lukewarm and this boat is so noisy.
Yeah. I went on the boat. I didn't sunscreen my nipples, so they're bleeding.
They're bleeding.
We're both. Yeah. See, I get it.
Oh,
I mean,
my
it's
God.
Yeah, it's, and it's. I mean, it is. It's shocking how much of a toll it does take on the woman, which again I underestimated. I mean, they've got to fully make look at us get this brownie points. Clip this and
just loop it.
Send it to our wife. I mean, they got to fully make it, and then you're like, okay, woo, she's done with that. I mean, I'm glad she's not. And it just kind of keeps going.
Yeah, it's.
I mean,
it's weird too, like John said, wild. Because again, what we do—that's. I don't envy other people's jobs much because I love what I do. But man, the moments where it's like, especially in the season y'all are, because now they get into school and it, you know, everything kind of starts going. It's like she's got, if she's not working and she's at home, she's got time during the day now, and it's great. You know, she kind of gets her life back some, but it's tricky because, you know, it's like. You're trying, it's like navigating that space and not, you know, especially those early years where everybody's tired, you know, and you're trying not to enjoy your life because that's the worst thing you can do. So it's like every day you come up, she's like, how'd it go? I'm like,
you went and had fun again.
Just wrote a great song. Oh, it's so annoying. It's so hard when you just have a chorus that feels massive, you know? And so that was like, whatever that was. Yeah, but I guess it'll pay for the new, you know, bicycle for the kid, whatever. We don't even care about that anymore. Let's
do what I gotta do.
Yeah, it's I mean, there were just so many times where coming home, I was like, boy, how do I play this? Because I'm really happy about what happened today. But she's like, you know, covered in poo and crying out of one eye, and you're kind of like, you know, like, and then she'd be like, don't diminish it. I actually need to hear you had a good day. And I'm like, oh, okay, sorry. Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah. No, it's too happy.
Still did it wrong.
Too happy. Ugh. Dial it down.
Too happy.
You know? Dude, thank you so much for being on. So we do what we call the speed round here at the end. And let me say this too. I want to replug this because I was watching it today and it's so great. You do have your comedy special up and it's really freaking funny. The Are You For Real?
Oh,
which
thanks.
Is really, really funny. So for anybody listening that wants to go watch that, it's really good. And so, okay, so speed round. I'm going to do, we'll do just four of these. We'll do one each. But here we go. Buckle up. Favorite character to do.
I give it the basic girl character.
Yeah.
It's just been a staple. And
don't you find too?
Part of me.
That's what I was going to say. Like, you know, I do videos and characters and stuff and not near to the as much as you do. But my favorite ones are like, I could hit record and go 3 hours and it'll all be new because something about this character is just in my brain and it's just going. And those are
for sure.
So much fun to write. But that one's.
Those are the
That's
best.
Yours. Just the bit like the
basic. Yeah. And it's just, it's cool how some of. I don't have a ton, but the characters I do have, how much they've just like, they've kind of naturally just become over the years. Mm-hmm. Like now she has a name and a wardrobe and it's just, you know, to expect. Yeah.
That's so great.
All right. What's the least favorite character to do? Or maybe the hardest character to do?
This might surprise people, but the middle schooler is Maddox.
Oh, yeah.
They call him. But that one's fun. People. Man, that talk about an idea I threw up one day where I was like, I don't, should I even post this? And then it got like 30 million views, like
good
unbelievable. I think I got a whole influx of fans who are like more in their 40s because they have those like
middle school
age kids. Yeah. And that like, I still, people on the road, they'll be like, oh, the middle school videos. That people love that character. But it's just, the whole character is like convulsing and shouting and like grunting, you know, like, and it kind of hurts my head to do it.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, when you've been doing it for like 3 hours and you're driving home and you're like, I'm just pissed.
Why? Yeah.
I'm still Maddox.
Katie has a few times been like, are you doing the character? That was weird.
Are you bringing him
like,
home now? Is that what's happening?
Bring Trey back.
Yeah.
This is weird.
Okay. If you could do like a comedic collab video with anyone, and I'm, you know, let's just say we're included too, but who would that be? Like, who's like the dream? Who are some of the dream lists for collab videos?
The guys that pop in my head are Kevin James, Ray Romano. Those are the guys I was raised on because, you know, I get asked so many times, you know, your inspiration, da, da, da. And I grew up sheltered, good Christian boy, and I wasn't allowed to watch 90% of it. People are like Seinfeld, right? The classic. I was like, I was not. They were running around town, New York City, which is an evil city, by the way.
Of course,
convoluting. But and so Everybody Loves Raymond, King of Queens was pushing it, but wasn't allowed. And I thought those guys were hilarious. Yeah. So
that I think I really do believe this. I think the tightest 30 minutes that I've ever seen of comedy, Kevin James Sweat the Small Stuff to me, I think from the beginning and the end, is literally maybe the tightest 30 minutes I've ever seen.
And again, I didn't watch a lot of stand-up growing up because, you know, very little of it was clean. I remember the blue-collar guys. What of that was clean. Of course, like Fox, where my dad loved Larry the Cable Guy. But Sweat the Small Stuff was one that, like, I didn't even really know what stand-up was. I was, like, 16. I remember watching that just being like, man, how is he? It's just him on a stage. How is he so funny?
God, he doesn't miss. It is. I remember, as a true story, I ordered it on the phone from Comedy Central VHS. Because I saw the special. I was like, call 1-800. I was like, hello. I was like, can I order? I don't know where it goes. But I mean, I loved.
Yeah.
That was such a great stand-up set.
Love it.
All right, we're going to land the whole plane on this last question. Favorite song of all time? Both of Dave and my entire catalog is up for grabs here.
Yeah. just keep asking until I answer you.
Let's do it one more time.
Okay, second one favorite.
Podcaster who's also a singer.
But like in the Nashville area.
One that popped in my head, Climax by Usher.
Oh, look at you.
Mm.
Usher is my favorite artist
That's
of all time.
That's the second Usher reference of this conversation.
That's why. It's my favorite artist of all time. He has a Vegas residency that I'm going to get to at some point. But I was raised on musically. What I loved seeing in the shower was like Usher, Rascal Flatts, a little bit of Timberlake.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, not right, but
a lot of vocal dexterity.
Exactly, I was in there, doing it, just getting after it. And Usher is like a all time fave, and that's almost my favorite Usher song.
Yeah,
nice.
Well, dude, thank you so much for hanging.
Yeah, this man, this has been great.
That was really fun. Thank you all for having me, man. I really, really appreciate it.